the cowherd boys that they need not be angry at the ritualistic brahmanas, but should understand that one who begs will often be refused. So what had happened, as we all know, that the boys had gone to the yagyashala and begged for some food, and the brahmanas totally ignored them, did not even say yes or no. So the boys, when they come back, they were quite distressed and quite unhappy. And Kavi Karnapur says that, it's very funny, what he says, what the boys are saying to Krishna, we brought back nothing but the smoke that we momentarily inhaled at the fire sacrifice. That's all we got back. And Krishna is telling the boys now, he's actually like, why Krishna is smiling? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that another reason Krishna is smiling is he's saying it's improper to show anger towards ignorant persons. He says those brahmanas are ignorant and you should not show anger towards them. And Kavi Karnapur further says that Krishna smiled mildly and he said, oh you boys, why are you affected by false anger? You should not have such a defiant, antagonistic mood. It is natural that your minds are disturbed because selfish people like those brahmanas always cause suffering to others. And here he's saying something very critical, which for us, for our spiritual life, he says, finding faults in others is the habit of common people, but you should not see like this. Being preoccupied with the yagna, the brahmanas obviously could not attend to you. So Krishna is actually, as I read that, and I understand, and we find ourselves also being so much in the mood of fault finding. Somebody said something, and we can take it either ways. We can take it as being an offense towards us, or we can see it in a different way, like Krishna is saying. Maybe they were too busy, so don't take offense, and don't get angry. And another thing which I was thinking about was like when we go out for preaching purposes, or we approach people about Krishna consciousness. And in one way, it's also begging when we go out and distribute books, and we're asking people, please, you know, see Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, please accept this book. So like Srila Prabhupada this is his main mood, to distribute a Krishna consciousness to others. So we should not become depressed or become angry because somebody did not accept the literature we are giving them, or they're not accepting what we are telling them. So that's something very important for us as devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement started by Srila Prabhupada. So when we approach people on behalf of Krishna, we can remember this. We should not find faults in others. And also on a day-to-day basis in our own exchanges with our other Vaishnava devotees, that we do not find fault in them. So the next verse, Krishna said, tell the wives of the brahmanas that I have come here with Lord Sankarshan. They will certainly give you all the food you want, for they are most affectionate towards me, and indeed with their intelligence reside in me alone. So the brahmanas actually, I'm not sure where I read it, but in the last week I've read it somewhere, that these brahmanas lived in a forest, in a village which was very near to Mathura. So Krishna never went that way when he was herding cows. And that these brahmanas were, but the wives had heard the pastimes of Krishna. And just by hearing the pastimes, they became very attracted to him, and they would chant his names, and they were very, their minds were totally engaged in Krishna's name and his pastimes. And actually these brahmanas were actually performing this sacrifice for Kamsa. And I can't tell you where I read it, but that he was performing the sacrifice, they were performing it for Kamsa. So Krishna is saying that with their intelligence they reside in me alone. So in the purport, we see, while physically the wives of the brahmanas remained at home, within their minds they resided in the Supreme Lord Krishna because of intense affection for him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that the reason Krishna did not have the cowherd boys tell the brahmanas' wives he was hungry is that he knew This would severely distress these devoted ladies. Simply out of affection for Lord Krishna, however, the wives would be happy to give all the food requested of them. They would not heed their husband's prohibitions since they resided within the Lord through their transcendental intelligence. Text 15. The cowherd boys then went to the house where the Brahmana's wives were staying. There the boys saw those chaste ladies sitting nicely decorated with fine ornaments. Bowing down to the Brahmana ladies, the boys addressed them in all humility. Now verse 16, the cowherd boys said, "Obeisances unto you, O wives of the learned Brahmanas. Kindly hear our words. We have been sent here by Lord Krishna, who is passing by not far from here." And we see here how the cowherd boys, even though they would be considered simple boys who have had no formal education, but they are so cultured, they are actually offering obeisances to these Brahminis who are also, if you see in the Varnashram system, they are not, like in the previous verses we heard, that they have not had any purificatory ceremonies, they have not studied the Vedas, but the boys are offering them obeisances in a very proper Vedic way. They're saying, namo vipra patni bhyo. So they are very, very cultured and very, very respectful of the wives of the Brahmanas, even though they don't know whether they will ever even give them anything, because they're thinking, the husbands did not give us anything, did not even acknowledge our presence, so we don't know what the wives will do. And here you see, they did not mention anything about Krishna being hungry. So they are listening to what Krishna said, don't tell the wives that I'm hungry. So then they say, he has come a long way with the cowherd boys and Lord Balaram tending the cows. Now he's hungry, so some food should be given for him and his companions. And so now they say he's hungry. So you would wonder, now Krishna told them not to say that he's hungry, and these boys are saying exactly what Krishna told them not to do. So you could think that they disobeyed Krishna. But Vishnu Chakrapati Thakur elaborates on this pastime, so I'll read. He says, so now when they first told the cow, when they first approached the Yajnapatnis, they just said obeisances, and they said Krishna and Balaram are not far from here. Upon hearing the name of Krishna, the Brahmana's wives fainted in bliss. So they just fainted, because as soon as they heard Krishna's name, to revive them, the boys explained why they had come to their houses, beginning in a gentle way and ending boldly. The boys said, Krishna and Balaram have come a long way, duram. Seeing the wives becoming very attentive upon hearing this, the boys decided to inspire them further by mentioning that Krishna and Balaram wanted some food. The cowherd boy said, Krishna and his friends are suffering from hunger. So only when they found that the wives had fainted on hearing Krishna's name, they decided, okay, we have to turn up the ante here. Tell them why we have actually come here. So, another thing which I came across, and I'm not sure, I cannot reconcile it, that this was also the day of the forest fire. And Krishna had already drunk the forest fire, so he was very satisfied. He was actually not very hungry at all, because he had had the forest fire. And the boys were, and they left their homes without eating any breakfast, which the boys mentioned later on, that we didn't eat any breakfast. And there was some commotion, I'm not sure because of the forest fire, but Mother Yashoda did not send any lunch that day as well with them. So they were really very hungry. And of course, there's another explanation that the boys didn't really want food. Like, they didn't want to eat, they didn't want food for themselves. They really wanted to have the rasa with Krishna, to see, like, you know, to tell Krishna, we are hungry. Then Krishna, they could serve Krishna, because they would now beg some foodstuffs and bring to Krishna. So they wanted to serve Krishna in that way. So there are many things going on at the same time in this pastime. So now the wives of the Brahmanas in the next verse 18, they were always eager to see Krishna, for their minds had been enchanted by descriptions of him. Thus, as soon as they heard that he had come, they became very excited. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in that regard, he says, the wives now, so they are just revived from their passing out. They had fallen unconscious. So they just woke up and they begin criticizing their minds on hearing that Krishna was hungry. Oh, you low mind, although you have heard that your beloved Krishna is suffering from hunger, why did you not wake up from fainting? And in Ananda Vrindavan Champu, there's more ecstatic details about the Yajnapatnis. They existed like the personified flames of a fire. Their saintly qualities derided the fame of Arundhati, who is the chaste wife of Vashishtha. Somehow they maintained a joyful state by strength of their affection for Krishna, which acted like a celestial herbal medicine to sustain them and burn like the steady flame of an oil lamp. I'll read this again. Somehow they maintained a joyful state by the strength of their affection for Krishna, which acted like a celestial herbal medicine to sustain them and burn like the steady flame of an oil lamp. During any ceremony, these beautiful Brahmana ladies always behaved perfectly according to time and place. They displayed the limit of worldly conduct by welcoming their guests with sweet words and serving them first-class food. Due to their love for the Lord, they knew how to act properly in all circumstances. Tolerating the shouts of their angry husbands, they appeared as the embodiments of forgiveness on the earth. Each of them exhibited many attractive qualities, such as purity of purpose and absolute dedication to the Lord. Their wealth surpassed even that of the heavenly King Indra. So the instruction which I see for ourselves here, once again, is that these women are in very unfavorable environment, in the sense that even though their husbands are worshipping the Supreme Lord and they are doing so many pious activities, and actually it's mentioned that in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Krishna calls them Nishpriya Brahmanas or Nishpriya Vaishnavas, which means those who are without any material desires. But the Acharyas explain that they did not have any material desires, but they had desire for liberation. So in that sense, they were not pure Vaishnavas. They are Nishpriya Vaishnavas. So, however, as we see from how the husbands behave with the cowherd boys, the environment was not very favorable for the wives to practice Krishna consciousness, in the sense to chant and to hear, come to a class every morning and hear the pastimes of the Lord. They did not have that, you can say, that latitude. So for us, when we are in an unfavorable environment, how we can always maintain our Krishna consciousness is explained here. That we can just, Krishna's name can be like a medicine for us, and we can sustain ourselves and develop so much love for the Lord, because Krishna is attracted by our bhakti, and he's called Bhakti Man. So he's attracted by our bhakti, and doesn't matter where we are, we can actually stay very, very affectionate towards Krishna, and Krishna will be affectionate towards us. So our external circumstances need not be a hindrance in our practice of Krishna consciousness. So going to the next verse, now the Brahmana's wives, taking along in large vessels the four kinds of foods full of fine tastes and aromas, all the ladies went forth to meet their beloved, just as rivers flow towards the sea. So as we sing every morning, Chatur Vidha, in the Samsara prayers, that the spiritual master is offering four kinds of foodstuffs. So maybe somebody can just tell us what are the four kinds of foodstuffs you're talking about here. Yes, Prabhu? Radhanda Prabhu? Licked? Chewed? Those who are sucked and swallowed. Swallowed is also like drank. So it can be swallowed or drank. Thank you, Prabhu. So Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that the wives of the Brahmanas experience conjugal feelings towards Krishna as if he were their paramour. Thus, they could not be checked as they rushed to see him. And it was mentioned in the class in at the retreat that the all the foodstuffs which they were collecting actually had the spice of love in it, because the brahmana's wives were chanting Krishna's names as they're cooking. And it's described in the Anadi Vrindavan Champu that the wives, that the brahmanas actually were very, very, they were very wealthy, because they were doing all these sacrifices and they were very respected and far and from all over the place. So they were doing a lot of sacrifices and they were very wealthy. So the women were dressed very beautifully. They had huge kitchens, and they actually were only directing the maidservants to cook all the offerings, or, you know, help them cut up and everything. But while they were in the kitchens, which were very opulent, they were always chanting Krishna's name. And talking about the rivers, that the ladies went forth towards the villa just as rivers flow towards the sea. So normally the rivers, as they go towards the sea, you can't really check their flow. And you cannot say, okay, you can go now, you can go later. No, the rivers just flow towards the ocean. So Jiva Goswami says that in great ecstasy, the wives were actually just asking the cowherd boys, as they picked up all of the foodstuffs, where, how far is he? How far is Krishna? How far do we have to go? And they are like stumbling, and as they are walking, and sometimes they're walking very fast, sometimes they're walking very slow. And there's a nice description of all the foodstuffs which the wives were collecting. It said that they were collecting them in big plates, because they didn't know what kind of foods Krishna liked. So they just collected all of the foods, you know, they made, so everybody had like at least two plates. And somewhere else I read that they had it on their heads. They were putting so much in fine silver goblets, and they were covering them with beautiful covers. So they picked up all kinds of preparations which had been made for the yajna, and they are just starting to walk out, and the cowherd boys are in front of them, and they're just kind of very happy, and they're kind of guiding them along to where Krishna is. So in this next verse, two verses, which are the last two verses, the translation is, although their husbands, brothers, sons, and other relatives tried to forbid them from going, their hope of seeing Krishna, cultivated by extensive hearing of his transcendental qualities, won out. Along the river Yamuna, within a garden decorated with buds of Ashoka trees, they caught sight of him, strolling along in the company of the cowherd boys and his elder brother, Bhagavan. So many things in this verse, in these two verses. So the women are walking, and they're going towards the, it's mentioned, Ashoka one, where there's Ashoka trees. And Madhavananda Prabhu pointed out that Ashoka, Shoka means lamentation, and Ashoka means no lamentation. So Krishna is in that forest which is Ashoka. So when we are with Krishna, there needs to be no lamentation. So that's how we understand Ashoka Nava Pallavam. And in the verse it says Bhagavati Uttama Shloke, the verse which we say very often, which is Uttama Shloke. So Krishna is glorified with very, very beautiful verses. And that Krishna, who is glorified in beautiful verses, was the source of the strength for these wives of the brahmanas. And because for a long time they had heard Krishna's names and pastimes, and now they suddenly were given the opportunity that they could actually go see Krishna face to face. So they were in total ecstasy. And in Ananda Vrindavan Champu, I would like to read a little something, that when the cowherd women were stunned, that one utterance of Krishna's name, which the boy said, that Krishna is nearby, it resonated within the ears of their wives millions of times over. Startled and astounded, they forgot everything and exclaimed, what kind of enchanting mantra is this? Just as a she-deer becomes helplessly attracted by the sweet flute melodies of a hunter, similarly they swooned in ecstasy upon hearing the sound of Krishna's name. The pure-hearted wives of the brahmanas stopped cooking and looked respectfully at the cowherd boys while fixing their minds in meditation. And the cowherd boys who had heard Krishna say that the wives are very favorable to me, then they spoke further. And upon hearing the words of the cowherd boys, the hearts of the ladies immediately melted in ecstatic love. They felt that the great treasure of Krishna's form, which is a constant flow of beautiful nectar, appearing as inconceivable eternal existence, had suddenly manifested before them. And the thought of meeting Krishna directly stole the chariots of their mind. Somehow or other, the eternal perfection that they desired for so long was now appearing before them. And as they're walking out, here are the brahmanas. And the brahmanas, so there's details about the brahmanas, they're standing in the path of the wives and started speaking harsh words. They're saying, who gave you this bad intelligence that you're going to this cowherd boy? Don't you know who we are? No, don't you know who you are? You are our wives. You have to follow us. Follow your istri dharma. Istri means woman, and dharma means follow the dharma of a woman. If you abandon your dharma, then you will lose your religion. And then they started saying, you came from good families. What will your father say? And don't go into the forest. And then they started saying about what they have to do service for the yagna. You have to do the service for our fire sacrifice. Now you're going away. But the yagna patnis ignored their husbands and they kept following the cowherd boys. And they did not care for worldly ties. So as we read earlier, the source of their strength was hearing and chanting Krishna's holy name. And hearing, of course, hearing is first. Hearing Krishna's holy names. So in this pastime, there is a tug of war between the rules and regulations, and there is the spontaneous love. So as devotees of trying to aspiring for pure devotional love and pure devotional service, we want to follow the rules and regulations like the brahmanas did, which is in Nectar of Instruction, it's told niyama agraha. There are rules and regulations which need to be followed, and there is niyama agraha, giving up these rules and regulations. So we need to follow the rules and regulations just so that we can practice Krishna consciousness, but we do not want to give them up prematurely, because that would be like sahajya in a way, because we would say, oh, we don't need to follow them, we are above rules and regulations. So we have to have that balance between niyama agraha and niyama agraha. We cannot neglect them, and we cannot just follow them just for the sake of following the rules and regulations. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport of the Nectar of Instruction, verse 2, about this matter, those interested in Krishna consciousness should not be eager to accept rules and regulations for economic advancement, just like the brahmanas were doing. Yet they should very faithfully accept scriptural rules and regulations for the advancement of Krishna consciousness. And as I was reading this pastime and thinking about the rules and regulations, I was thinking, I'm so glad that Srila Prabhupada did not follow all the rules and regulations which are enjoined in the scriptures or which the caste brahmanas have instituted in India over the last several centuries. I remember hearing when I was a young child, we never crossed the ocean. Or a sannyasi, as we know, Prabhupada also told us, it was said sannyasi should never cross an ocean. So I'm glad Prabhupada crossed the ocean. And that non-Hindus can never become Hindus. They can never be converted. I guess it was because the Mughals had really converted a lot of Hindus into Islam. So there was this thing that nobody can become Hindu. So I'm so glad Srila Prabhupada did that, because so many people all over the world have not become Hindus, they have become devotees of Krishna and pure devotees of Krishna. And another thought which I had was about initiating women, because we know in most of the very, very strict temples in India, the women are not allowed to do any service on the altar. Jagannath Puri, or even many of the temples in Vrindavan, they're not allowed to do any service. But Srila Prabhupada initiated women, gave them Brahman initiation, and allowed them to serve the deities, the most beautiful lordships, Shri Krishna, Balaram, Radhisham, Gaur Nithai, all over the world, Lord Jagannath. So we are so fortunate that Srila Prabhupada did not follow those rules of the Vedic Brahmanas. However, he gave us these four rules of, or four regulations for our independence, which are no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. And if we follow those rules, Srila Prabhupada, and we continue to hear and chant the names of the Lord, our destination, Prabhupada guarantees our destination, that he says, one, that he will take us back to Godhead. So having firm faith in Srila Prabhupada's words and in the rules which we are following, we continue to go ahead and keep practicing our doing our Krishna consciousness activities and continuing with our sadhana. Thank you very much, Prabhus. And if you have any questions or comments, please do. There's so much more on these verses, but I'll stop here because it's 8:40. Yes, Prabhu.
Something about like rivers flowing into the sea. You remember that? Can you read it back? What was it?
The ladies went forth to meet their beloved just as rivers flow towards the sea.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. In the Manu Samhita, so I think it stated something like a woman followed her husband like the river going into the sea, something like that. And there was something else, so she takes on the quality of her husband, like the river merging into the sea, something like that. So if the husband is bad, you know, she develops that quality. If he's, you know, like that.
Right.
That was in the Manu Samhita, you know. Yeah. But the point that we're making is, if she even comes from a Chandal background and he's a Kshatriya or Vaishya or a Brahmin or whatever, she becomes elevated like that.
Right.
And I just remember that comparison.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Guru. Yeah, so I forgot to mention, which Mother Koti Chandra had pointed out. Will you talk about the obstacle which we have in our devotional service? I didn't use the word obstacle, but the too much stress on rules and regulations. That's an obstacle, because when we stress too much on the rules and regulations, then we think they're all important and we lose the essence. If we want to become Sharagrahi Vaishnavas, we want to get the essence, which is to attain love of Krishna. So that's the essence. And so we don't want to get too much hung up on the rules and regulations, but at the same time, it's mentioned the ass-like brahmanas. So they are ass-like, like Dhenukasura. They're so much focused on the rules and regulations, but they're not seeing the big picture. Lord Krishna came in to them in the form of his cowherd friends, and they did not recognize them. So that's how we don't want to be so much just fixated on the rules and regulations. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yagya Patnis ki jai. Hari Om.